happy to have David and Leah Ortiz with us from REL. Even though they live in the Hill Country, they still come up to Jerusalem. And as we sang in the song. But we've been together in Samaria. And we were in Europe together. We were in Germany after getting off their airplane and went into a restaurant and he was eating a hot dog. And he started to choke, started to turn all kinds of colors, and I knew he was having trouble with the food lodged in his throat. So I got up behind him and with a fist did this kind of action suddenly, and out came the hot dog. But all the people in Germany, in the German restaurant, continued to eat like nothing had happened. But so we're linked in many different ways, and it's a blessing to have him come and share with us at this time.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when we were in the restaurant, when I ate the hot dog, I realized I had a couple of seconds because I couldn't breathe in or out, and I knew I wasn't going to last too long. But as I was choking, I was just going like this, knocking down everything on the table. I looked like Frankenstein, knocking down everything on the table. And the people look at me just eating, you know, and things happen. It was like a form of entertainment for the people sitting down. And I was like, Chuck came over and just knocked out the hot, over here, and all of a sudden the hot dog came out. And I said to him, do that again. I want to see if I, because it went straight into the cup. I said, I'm going to eat another bite, see if I get choked, and see if I can do it again. Anyway, praise God. It's amazing how the Lord puts somebody right next to you. It's amazing. Praise God. Anyway, my family really appreciate the family here, of God here, and also Chuck and Liz and children. They've been a tremendous blessing to us. The truth is, this is the best spiritual hospital in town. Praise God. The Lord said, my house is, Yeshua said that I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners that need repentance. Imagine if I walk into the hospital, emergency room, and I'm walking around, the doctor says, oh, you have any needs? No, I'm just here. I have nothing to do in the house. I'm just here. I like being in the emergency room. And even today, it seems kind of humorous, but it's possible to be in the house of God for the Spirit of God to move and for us not to respond to it. We almost sing that song when we come to the congregation sometimes. Lord, I would not be moved. I'm not moving from here. But the Lord wants us to move into His presence and to respond to His calling, because it's possible. Yeah, I'm reading the Gospels where everyone's around Yeshua, and Yeshua said, someone just touched me. So it's possible that a people could be a crowd, be around Him, and not really reach out to Him. And He's there for us. Praise God. Amen. Today I'm going to share a little bit of what took place. For those that don't know, we had a bomb placed in our home and left my son in a critical condition. Just for the reality of, for those that didn't see the picture, this is my son after the bomb. And maybe, this is him. When the bomb took place, he opened the package. And then the people that came upstairs to help, they took a photograph with their cellular phone. This picture was handed to me about 5 months after the incident. Because my neighbor told me, he said, I didn't think you would be ready for it, but now I see things a little more stable. So he gave me the photograph, and this is him right after the bombing. His eyes are full of metal. It opened up his neck, and it left a hole here that you could see his lung breathing. And then if you look close at the photograph, underneath the blood is really yellow, because it removed all the skin. So all you see is exposed fat. And then on the knees here, it took, all you saw was anatomy. You saw blue, green, and off-white, and the muscles underneath. And a lot of nerve damage. But this, I just wanted to show you, just so you can understand the reality. Because we will turn that off, yeah. Sometimes you hear about these things, and until you're there and see how things are, it's just a different world. In Ariel, where I live, there was a bomb at the hotel. I was on my way to the gasoline station, and the bomb blew off. And the guy that walked in with the bomb, he had a whole backpack of explosives. And even knocked down the wall. It did so much damage. But a bomb is a terrible thing. It has tremendous power. It's not what we see in Hollywood movies where somebody escapes from a bomb. All of a sudden they have a couple of scratches. It's a terrible thing. Anyhow, I just wanted to share just a little bit. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Life is difficult to understand. Especially it's difficult depending on where we come from, what we experience in life. For some people it's easier than others to understand life. In the book of Ecclesiastes it says there's a season and a time for everything under the sun, chapter 3. People that live in the Western world, I will call Europe and I will call America more or less, this is the way they read the Bible. There's a time to be born. There's a time to plant. There's a time to heal. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to win. There's a time of peace. This is how people maybe in the Western world read it. On this part of the world, things are a little different. We read it this way. There's a time to die. There's a time to kill. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to stop embracing. There's a time to lose. There's a time to keep silent. There's a time of war. You know, in the States, sometimes when I go to the States every year, I see people, oh, hi, David, how you doing? Okay, you know, I just bought a new house and I just got a car. I basically bought it half price. I mean, the person that had it hardly drove in and it has how many miles? I mean, it's almost new. My children are going to the best schools. These are all fantastic things. When you go on this part of the world, you hear about people that have lost so much. I'm not only talking about Israel, I'm talking about the Middle East. About Christians that live in Middle Eastern countries that don't have the freedom, or Muslims that become believers in Arabic countries that lose their lives for the sake of Jesus, was taking place on this side of the world. And Yeshua invites us to His glory, but He's also inviting us to His suffering. And it's possible for the Yeshua to be experiencing God's glory. But at the same time, there's an invitation. And sometimes we get the invitation, sometimes we don't. But sometimes the Lord gives us that invitation. Will you like to? I'm inviting you. You know, when you love someone, you want to know about their sufferings too. When you like somebody, you hear all about all their good times. When they're going through a very difficult time, you don't want to hear that. You just want to hear about the good times. But when you love somebody, you are very interested in knowing what they're going through. That's the nature of love. And that's what the Lord is calling His body into. And in the Old Testament, there were basically two trumpets. There was the silver trumpet and there was the ram's horn. The silver trumpet was basically made for celebrations, for holidays. And people would hear that. They would say, oh, the celebration, the sacrifices are going on in the temple. And we're going to have a meal before the Lord, a peace offering, and everything's fantastic. The other trumpet was basically made of a ram's horn. It was basically made, when you heard that trumpet, you knew there was going to be war. And the Lord was calling His people to be prepared. In Numbers chapter 1, 13 times it says, in the tribe of Reuben, ready for war. In the tribe of Manasseh, ready for war. And you keep on writing down of all the tribes, and it said they were ready for war. But there might be a problem in the body of the Lord today, where we just want to hear the silver trumpet. You know, I was in a Bible school in the States, and they invited me to lunch, and I said to them, "Oh, I have some people that I want to invite to the lunch to sit together with us." And then they found out they're not Christians. And they said, "Well, you know, he's not a Christian." I said, "That's exactly why I'm inviting him, because he's not." And then, you know, we get so content in our Christian fortress. And one thing about being in a fortress, sometimes you don't understand what's taking place outside. But what's taking place in Europe and taking place in America, Islam is right at the door, you see. And it's right in our gates. It's because we were not going out there and preaching the gospel out there. But Yeshua said, "And the gates of hell will not prevail." But it's nice hearing the silver trumpet, but we have to respond to the call of the ram's horn. In the book of Amos, it says, when they hear the trumpet, are they not afraid? Going back to understanding suffering, Jacob had two wives, Rachel and Leah. So he had two wives. You know, I work a lot with Muslims, and the question with me always is when they become... We had some Muslims recently become believers, and it's just been fantastic. They're so ready for the gospel. But one of the first questions is on their mind is, could I have more than one wife? So my answer to them is that, do you want more than one mother-in-law? The other question, which was kind of reasonable, one guy that was already a new believer, he says, "Could you give me a verse in the Bible where it says I cannot have more than one wife?" So I gave them Matthew chapter 5. It says, "You cannot serve two masters." Anyway, Jacob had two wives. But Jacob, as you know the story, he had a problem. He loved Leah, Rachel, but he did not love Leah. He did not love Leah because it was not his choice. It was brought upon him through his father-in-law. But what's interesting about that story, throughout the story, he expresses his love for Rachel, but not for Leah. But at the end of his life, when he's in Egypt, he has a surprise of a request. He says, "I'm ready to die, basically, but bury me next to Leah." And I'm looking at it, I said, wait, he loved Rachel, but now he's saying, bury me next to Leah. Leah was buried, and Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Why not next to Rachel, the one he was always expressing his love for her? I believe it's because at the end of his life, during his lifetime, he saw Leah as a cross in his life. But you know something concerning what happened to us and what takes place in life? God has a plan. And we might count our crosses as a cross, but at the end of life, sometimes I believe Jacob understood that the very cross he was complaining about is the cross that changed his life and made him understand life and understand that the world was not made for Jacob, it was made for God to glorify himself. And at the end he says, bury me next to my cross, bury me next to Leah. And I think at the end of our lifetime we'll be understanding a little bit more that even the very crosses and the very tragedies that happen in life is God's plan for him to glorify himself. And at the end, we say, "Lord, it's your will. I accept it." Amen. In Psalm 91, Moses, it was 120. Psalm 91 was written by Moses, 90 and 91. And Moses, when he wrote that psalm, he said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High," and then he goes throughout the psalm. During that writing of that psalm, Moses was not looking at life this way. He was looking at life this way. He saw everything that took place, and with all his experience and everything that took place, he looked back and said, "You could trust the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You know, God does not live in time. We live in time. Though God made the laws of time, He lives. The Bible says in Psalm 57, verse 15, it says, "Thus say the Lord, the high and lofty, who inhabits eternity." That means God lives in eternity. Now, eternity is difficult to understand because, you see, Yeshua died 2 days ago. Because one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. This is we're dealing with eternity. So the Lord's trying to bring the concept so we can understand. God spoke to Abraham 4 days ago when he said, I will bless you and I will bless your descendants and I'm going to be glorified through the Jewish people. That was 4 days ago. But the Bible says that that Yeshua is the Alpha and Omega. He knows everything. I love the songs that was sung this morning by Liz. It says, before the world was, my life was in your hands. That's tremendous. That's tremendous security. Praise the Lord. You know, God is not subject to time. He's not subject to a clock. God has no birthday. He always was. God cannot learn. God cannot learn because He knows everything. Learning is for a person that doesn't know everything, but God knows everything. He can never learn. I was reading the life of Einstein, and after reading his life story, I said, boy, I thought I was a genius until I started reading this guy's life. Anyway, he was he was 7 years old. He was on a bicycle, and as he was passing the poles, he realized that you could go back in time. He got the concept of time when he was 7 years old, passing those poles. He realized the concept of time. So he realized there was an eternity. I was a year before the bombing. The Lord spoke to me, and I think I spoke this a year before the bombing. I think I was here. I have not been here for 3 years. It's been 2.5 years of the bombing. But I was in prayer. The Lord spoke to me very straight. He says, David, I want to bless you, but I can't. I can't bless you because I'm like a good businessman. I don't pour new wine into old wineskins. I'm afraid if I pour... See, the wineskin you have... I'm going to take this for a second. This is a wineskin... This is a wineskin. It's 80 years old. I got this one from the Arab village. It's 80 years old, and it's made from sheep. And when they used to use this before, it was for water, for milk, for making butter, or for wine during the biblical times. And the Lord spoke to me and said, David, I want to bless you, but I have a problem. The wineskin you have was good 10 years ago, but time has changed. The world has changed. The wineskin you have is not tough enough for what's about to take place. I need to put new wine in your life, but I can't do it until you get new wineskin. Because if I pour in the new wine into these new wineskins, it'll completely break and I'll lose my investment. So I understood new wineskin meant difficult times. So understanding that, I said to the Lord, could it be next year? Because, you know, I'm kind of busy this year. And I have things to do. You know, I'm ready, but I'll be ready next year. But the Lord doesn't go according to our timetable. So, you know, someone said to me, I will die for the Lord. I said, you will die for the Lord? That's easy. It's living for the Lord that's hard. And Enoch lived for the Lord 300 years. I said, Lord, that's a challenge. Praise God. Anyway, I was in Norway, in the country of Norway, more or less a couple of months before the bombing. Anybody here from Norway, from the cold country? No, Germany was pretty cold. I was there during a very cold winter. You know what's cold for me? 20 below zero is cold. 25 below zero is cold. When Chuck and I, we were in Romania, in Germany, it was pretty cold. It was pretty cold. I was in Norway, and... This brother has very, very big windows. And when we woke up in the morning, I'm looking outside and I told the brother, you know, it's very cold outside. He says, it's never cold in Norway. It's that you're not dressed right. He says, once you're dressed right, you don't feel the cold. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. David, he's right. If you're dressed with the armor of God, no matter what takes place outside, you're going to make it. So the Lord gave me a warning. It's going to be very cold outside, so get ready. In Psalm 25, it says that God speaks to His friends. And I thank God that the Lord was speaking to me as a friend, because He got me prepared. In that morning, there was a very strong wind that passed by. And I'm looking through the windows, and all of a sudden the trees are moving. And some of them, the wind was so fierce and strong that it started taking out some of the trees from the roots, especially the smaller ones. And then as I'm looking at it, I realized that storms are made to reveal dead things. You're a believer. You know all the songs. You know your Bible very well. That doesn't prove anything. What proves is when the storm passes by. Because I saw some of those trees, all of them looked the same until the storm came. That's when it revealed what was dead and what was alive. And that's what storms are made for. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I was reading the Songs of Solomon before the bombing. And the Songs of Solomon was written for marriages that were boring. That's what the Songs of Solomon were written for. And the Songs of Solomon takes you from chapter 1, from holding hands to the end of a consummation in a marriage. And as I was reading it, the Lord started speaking to me. I don't want to hold your hands. I want a consummation. And that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want to hold hands with us. He doesn't want to talk to us from far off. He's so jealous for us that He wants to talk to us as close as possible. In the book of Jeremiah says, before you were born, I knew you. For those that know, that the word know there is like a person that knows his wife. I remember, because when I was living in New York, I was raised together with the Orthodox Jews. And before we made Aliyah, I was talking to a friend that he's Orthodox, and I was learning a little bit of Hebrew from the Opan. So I told him, Ani Yodei Yeshua. He says, Ani Yodei Yeshua is not correct, David, because Yodei there means like a man knows his wife. I said, exactly. Exactly it. This is the relationship that the Lord wants with us. Praise God. But before the bombing, I will say about a couple of days before the bombing, my wife was vacuum cleaning the floor, and I read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 21. And it says, death is going to come through your windows, and your children are not safe any longer. Putting it and translating into my own mind. I said, Linda, stop the vacuum cleaner. Something happened. She says, what? I said, I just received a promise from the Lord. And look what it says. Death is going to come through our windows. And it's going to be affecting our children. I said, I received it as a promise. Like if it would be the same way I will receive a promise from the Lord of goodness. Something bad is going to take place for sure. So I have six children. And I had some in the army. I said, something's going to take place. I said, I'm afraid. So I'm giving a Bible study in a town close by. And I'm reading from the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, of course, is a book full of questions. And Habakkuk doesn't understand many things. And what's beautiful about the book of Habakkuk, the word means God embrace, to embrace. So in chapter 1, you read Habakkuk. I don't understand, Lord, how bad people get away and good people are suffering and what's taking place in this world. I don't understand. And in the verse that the Lord spoke to me was verse 5. It says, I'm going to do a work in your day that even if someone would tell you, you won't even believe it. And translating that into my mind, David, I am always working. And I'm going to do something in your life that even if I would sit down and explain to you, you won't understand. You just got to believe me. So then I go to chapter 2, verse 2, I believe. And it's the verse that changed the whole world and changed all of Europe. And the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther. So as I started reading that, the Lord spoke to me. David, something is about to happen. New wineskin. It's going to get cold outside. The wind is going to come. You have to believe me. I can't explain to you right now, but you have to live by faith. Something's coming your direction. So the night before the bombing, we have the children's meeting next door. We have an apartment that we use as a church. And my son Ami, at that time, was 15, and he's going to walk into the meeting next door. I said, Ami, where are you going? He says, I'm going to the youth meeting. I said, Ami, you know, in the book of Kings, it says the king was evil because he did not prepare his heart before the Lord. It doesn't say he was taking drugs. It doesn't say he was in the discotheque. It says his heart was not prepared before the Lord. I said, if you knew President Bush or whoever was going to be next door, will you walk in that manner? I said, you're going next door before the king. Prepare your heart. We're going to pray right now and prepare your heart before you go in the presence of God. So we prayed. So, we were with some friends from Denmark here in Jerusalem. And, you know, it was Erev Purim, you know, the day before Purim. And I never left the house. I never left the house for a holy day, for a holiday. But my wife calculated that day for me. We did not realize that was the evening before the holiday. So we already made the commitment. So I had to go to Jerusalem, to the city of David with my Danish friends. But I was more surprised when my wife, that has MS, she has trouble walking, that she wanted to come with me. Because she never comes with me when I take people, because it's a lot of walking. So I was surprised. So we went to Jerusalem about 2 o'clock. My son Ami calls and he says, we received a beautiful package. Who is it from? He told my wife. And my wife said, no, we don't know. It must be from one of the neighbors. So all of a sudden, we get a phone call from my son that was in the army by Kakilia. And he's working with the radios, communication. And he says to us, a bomb exploded in Ariel. There's a terrorist attack. So he calls back again. And he says, the terrorist attack was on our block where we live. My wife calls up Ami. He doesn't respond. We have a sister called Marina. She comes twice a week to help out my wife clean up the house. The police picks up the phone and says there has been a tremendous explosion in her house. Your son is on his way to the hospital. Run right away. My son never lost consciousness. When he opened up the bomb, it was a pipe bomb. It blew him into the kitchen. Maybe you have that picture. I don't know. If you see. Yeah, this is the kitchen, and the bomb was on in the package. There was a trigger on, and when he lifted up the candy, it blew him into the kitchen. When he was on the floor, the people that came in said that he was telling Jesus, please help me. He never lost consciousness. The ambulance took about 20 minutes. It was late. When he got into the ambulance, even though his eardrums were exploded, he was able to hear the radio and the ambulance driver saying, we have a child, that he's Anush, meaning third stage. Meaning, Anush means that it can be cured. So he says he's Anush, and we don't think he's going to make his life. When he heard that, he says, put me to sleep. I want to go to sleep. Got to the hospital. We got to the hospital. The police is there, and what they call here, the FBI here, Shin Bet. And they said, do you know who done these things? Who put this bomb? Honestly, I said the Palestinians, because I have a fatwa from the Palestinians. He says, no, it was not Palestinian. This is Jewish terrorism. They brought me into the room to identify him, but it was very hard for me to identify him. I understood, because Ami is about let's say in Fida, today he's 6'7", so he's very tall. I identify him by his height, but I couldn't identify him by his looks because the smoke and the peeling and everything that he, the way he had, I couldn't identify him. So they brought him into the, they brought him to an emergency room. You know, when we first got to this country, it says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, it says, here am I and the children that you have given me. They're going to be a sign for the house of Israel. I say, isn't that fantastic? Praise God. The Lord gave me a promise. The Lord is going to use my children. But when that happened, the verse came to me. I will glorify myself. Something I don't understand. So, the doctor explained to us, after 8 hours of operation, the doctor explained that the vital signs are down. They're down. He says, Sid, we'll put you in the room and in a little while we're going to tell you what's going to happen. He knew more than we did, of course. He understood that he was leaving. So they put us in the room. So I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't even close my eyes. I'm just thinking about what he told me, all the damage that took place in the body. And as we sat down, I said to the Lord, I fell down a hole that's so deep. I fell down a pit. I said to the Lord, I can never get back up. I said, Lord, this is over. I can't get back up. I said, I'm in darkness. Kid, it's over. I said, Lord, I don't want second best. I want first best. I read in the book of Proverbs 15 times, the good or the better. I said, Lord, I don't want the good. I want the better. I need a miracle. I can't see. Lord, I can't see in front of me. I can't get back up. Right there, the Lord revealed himself to me. I saw the Lord on his throne, and the Lord spoke to me very clear. Yes. The Lord spoke to me very clear. He says, I saw the Lord on the throne, and I realized that he's on the throne, and he knew all about it. It wasn't like it happened, he didn't know. And the Lord spoke to me very clear. I have decided to glorify myself. There's been a decision made that to glorify myself. And that was it. I said, great, praise God. He's going to glorify himself. And what is life all about? But that's what counts. That's the only thing I could take with me. So right there, I was thinking to myself, I said, I wonder if he's going to live. And there I saw the death angel coming into my apartment. And the Lord said, you can take him. I understood he was going to live. My wife was next to me. And she said, I never saw her this way. She says, David, I completely lost it. I am mad. I can't think. I'm gone. And as she was falling, I spoke to her. And I told her what I saw. When she heard what I saw, we both got up. Now it's time to believe the Lord and we're going to get up. Praise the Lord. We washed our faces, we ate a little something. The Lord spoke to us. We're going to go forward. God's going to glorify himself. What's going to happen? I don't understand. But I remember from the book of Habakkuk, I'm going to do something. Don't try to understand it. Just believe me. So in the morning, which was a couple hours, we see the doctor. The doctor says to us, now, I never been afraid of all my experiences in my life. I never been afraid like in that day when the doctor looked at me. I couldn't interpret. There was a look on his face that I couldn't read what he was trying to tell me. I said, it's bad news. He's hesitating to talk to us. And then he says to us, you know, there's so many bomb blasts in this country. I have become an expert. All the bomb blasts, I'm there. I've been there. But he says, well, your son, I can't even speak to your medical terms. Your son has received a miracle. The vital signs were down. Now they're 100%. 100%. The heart, the gases, everything is 100%. He's going to make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then he explained to us the injuries. He says, starting from here, it didn't touch the brains. He says, that's good. Here he's blind because he has so much metal, pieces of metal inside the eyes, but it didn't touch the nerves, so it didn't sever the nerves in the eyes. There's a question. Down here, it just opened up. It just missed by millimeters the two main arteries here because the glass fell off. We had to remove the glass from inside the neck. Here he has a hole. We're going to try to close that. We had to open up his stomach, take out all the intestines, take out all the pieces of metal, and put back everything back together. As soon as we put it back, he started to urinate. The doctor said, that means the system is working. He says, we got a miracle. The flesh is completely off. He says, we have to peel him and just try to cover up and put on flesh here. He says, to be honest with you, it's going to be kind of difficult. But what we didn't see last night, we see this morning. We're going to put them back together. Fingers, the toes, is slightly three missing. Hole in his foot. Metal, nerve damage. But he says, I feel he's going to make it. We're going to go forward. Praise God. You know, in the hospital, we had 80. Now, the hospital room, for those that know Schneider Hospital, the room is very large. It's like from there to there. We had 80 people visiting us every day. From 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock, 12? 10, 12, we had people in the hospital visiting us. We had so many people that the doctors and the nurse came over to me and says, can you please schedule the people to come at certain times, because the other people have critical people too, and they're sitting outside. I said, I would do that. I think I have a problem. I don't know the people. Half of Ariel is there. They came from Dan to Beth Sheva. The believers came. Arabic believers came. Believers from different backgrounds came. We all made a circle to pray. We had constant prayer. People were praying in Hebrew with Spanish accent, with Arabic accent, with all kinds of accents, just praying. And the people from the outside looking at us, which we were oblivious, you could say. But we had tremendous people. You know, Job had three friends, actually four. His friends did not minister to him. His friend, this is Maccabi Tel Aviv. They came to visit him. The national basketball players came to visit him. With Job, his friends were not paramedics. They were police. They questioned him like a police. And the Lord wants us not to come in and minister to people like self-righteous and like policemen. He wants us to come as paramedics and to heal and to bring healing. And I thank the Lord that I did not have friends like Job. Job's friends were the best Bible school students. If you read what they said, it's just tremendous. The only thing, they didn't have love. And in the 42 chapters of the book of Job, Job is the only one that prayed. In the whole book. His friends just said it, but they didn't live it. So I thank God I have friends. I have friends like that. And you live life and you're a believer and you see things, and there's no Superman in life. There's no super Christian. There's no super believer. There's only Yeshua. And you see, my wife and I, we didn't have strength, but the body of the Lord came and held us. That's why we didn't fall. It's the only reason. He was just there with us. You know, I'll say in the words of someone that was here since 1961. She told me, I have never seen the body of the Lord come together so quickly like in this bombing. Google.com, we have their graph that during the bombing, before the bombing, Israelis were looking for Jesus. 20% of the internet of Israelis looking for Jesus was 20%. During the bombing, it registered 100% of Israelis looking for Jesus on Google.com. I'm just going to... These are the newspapers, Israeli newspapers, not counting the foreign, this is just Israelis. This is the Israeli newspaper coming over to the house, interviewing and talking to us. And you know why they talk to us? We just had Russian TV, what they call RT, over the house the other day. We had two Dutch newspapers. We had a German newspaper. We just had the Norwegians the other day. This month we have more than 650 people visiting this month. Since it's been 2.5 years, we don't have less than 200 people coming to visit every month. But I have a neighbor downstairs. We call her the Voice of Israel because she's a gossiper. She knows everybody's business. And she says to me, I have never seen busloads of people coming over to somebody, in the individual. She says, if these people want to destroy you, they just did the opposite. They just multiply you. In fact, the other day we had so many buses in front of the house, my neighbors were complaining. I have to tell the bus drivers to leave them in the corner because the buses, you know, with engines, it just looks like, I don't know. Anyhow, we had too many people. We had 150 Germans that came at one time. So they came and they took turns coming upstairs. So I told them to do the same thing with the Norwegians. We went outside and made a circle outside, 150 people. And said, shout with all of your heart, praise God, pray out loud, and just let's worship God outside. I said, we'll take it outside of this apartment and we'll put it out on the street. My neighbor, the Voice of Israel, she sees me from the window. She says, David, who are those people? I said, come down and see, talk to them. So she came down to pray with us. Praise God. I had Arabs call me up. And I had several Palestinians call me up. And one of them tells me, you know, David, I hate the Israelis. But he says, I heard you forgave this whoever it was, you leave me at a point I have to forgive the Jews too. She says, that's what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to forgive them. My son, when he woke up after 8 days, he was blind. And his first words he says to me, he says, I know the religious people did this to me, right, Abba? It was the religious people. There was a bomb in that package I opened up. He understood, which was great because the doctor said he might be a vegetable, he might not understand. So I said to him, Ami, we have to do something. We have to defend ourselves now. We have to forgive. Because we can't become a victim twice. I said, when you forgive, the favor is for yourself. When you forgive, you are back in control. I said, if we forgive, we allow God to work in the other person's life. So we must forgive. We can't be a victim twice. So he said right away, he says, Abba, I will forgive. My children said, we will. So that's what brought the victory into our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we received underneath our bed, we have about 5,000 pieces of mail, post mail, not internet mail, but post mail from South Korea, from Japan, from Singapore, from Thailand, from Australia, from Indonesia, from Cuba, from Hawaii, from Sri Lanka, from all over South America, all over Europe, all over the world. 5,000. Encouraging Ami. And Ami read about 20, my wife read to him 20 postcards a night so he could go to sleep of people just encouraging him. And children writing about their own. One boy said, I'm missing a hand, I'm missing an eye, my bitterness against God and how how he went through the struggle. But my best postcard that they wrote to Ami was, Dear Ami, I didn't really want to write to you, but my mother told me I had to. That was my best postcard. There was, in the hospital, there were religious people there. And one of the religious guys I made friends with, because he knows friends that I grew up with in Brooklyn. So after a month, you know, you're kind of wondering what he wants to tell me. You know, some people don't speak to you straight. They speak to you in a code or they give indirects, but I don't understand what he's trying to tell me. At the end, he told me. He says, you know, Muhammad doesn't bother us. Buddha doesn't bother us. But Yeshua does. So much that one of us put a bomb in your house. Then I remember the verse that says, they hated me without a cause. I came to my own house, but my own house doesn't want to accept me. Just very quickly, they said that my neighbors and the police and the teachers told me, we heard you're moving out of Ariel. I said, moving? I'm planning to stay. I read Isaiah 54 from the Living Bible. That's the translation, you know, Moses used. It doesn't matter. So, and the Living Bible says it this way. Get ready and make your tents very big like a Bedouin. And it says, and forget about the money. Think big. So, the house is destroyed. And I'm reading that verse because I'm wondering to myself, what do I throw out? What could be, how do I put this house back together? Called up my Arabic friends, Ziyad. I said, Ziyad, come over with your friends and throw out everything that has death and rebuild the house. So Ziyad comes over. He comes over with about five guys and he's working. He says, David, what color should I make the floor? I said, Ziyad, I don't care about the floor. Do whatever color you think. So my mind was not there. We were not sleeping. We were in the hospital for 5 months without basically sleeping. Somebody had to be with Army always. So my wife, I go up to the house. The house is destroyed. So my wife calls me up. I said, yes. She says, could you pick up something and bring it back to the hospital? I said, I will bring it back to you. The only thing I have a problem, I just lost my telephone. I don't know where I put it. And I'm looking around the house. I said, I'm trying to look to exactly where I walked through. And she says, what are you talking to me? How are you talking to me then? I said, I found the phone. So my mind was not completely there. So Ziyad says to me, David, what color do you want the kitchen? I said, Ziyad, I cannot deal with colors or what color, whatever. Just make the house look different. Psychologically, it has to be different. Just do everything different. And his friends came over to me. I came to visit in the night. And then his Arabic friends tell me, Abu Dawood, please tell Ziyad, we need to go to the bathroom. We need to eat. We need to sit down. This guy's working us. And we need to relax. It's been 3 weeks now. And we just need to sit down. And I went to Ziyad. I said, Ziyad, they complain that they're working too hard. He says, forget about it. They're lazy. They're going to work. You need a house. We'll make it. Today, my house looks like the house of Abdullah, the king of Jordan. Praise God. He fixed it up. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to close. Yeah, I'm going to close. You know, I'm going to show you here my favorite picture. This is myself and Ami. And it says, brothers by blood. You see, this man, Jack Tytel, killed two Palestinians. So the Palestinians, their family came to our house. And they said, now we're united by blood. And we have become, they're Muslims. But he says, we have become a family forever now. So it's amazing, right? Praise God. It's my best picture. The Lord has united us with the Palestinians in that regard also. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to close in Chuck, usually it's 1 o'clock, according about that, about this time? Yeah, good, okay. I'm just going to close with 6 points. I'm just going to close in 5 minutes. That sounds better. When Ami left the hospital, the doctor told him, you will never walk right, and you will never run again. Your basketball year's time is over. You have too much damage on your in your muscles. Ami is playing basketball. That's him now. He's playing basketball. And the NBA players came from the States, and they came to visit us, and they're trying to help him to get into college. And he's playing basketball now. Praise God. Several things happened. The doctor told us, well, this is what's going to happen. He can't do this. He can't do it throughout the five months we were there. Believe me, he was wrong all the time. All the time he was wrong. In fact, he ran away from us, right? Because I was trying to catch up to him to tell him what he said was not right. And all of a sudden, you know, he kind of looked at me like, I'm going to lose my job. Each time, each thing I everything I say is wrong. The healing process, it was taking over. Praise God. But I'm going to close with these three in 5 minutes. First of all, call upon the name of the Lord. No fancy prayers, no ceremony. Just being simple. You know, as believers, we have lost the simplicity that we have in the Lord. Just being simple. Just being who you are before the Lord. Lord, help me. Number two, know that God loves you. This is hard to do. That not God loves you, He agapes you. He loves you. He's always thinking about you 24 hours. Trust Him. Believe that He has the power to remove mountains. Obey Him. And let the body of the Lord help you. Zechariah chapter 13, 1 through 6. It talks about the Messiah. But in verse 6 it says, where do you receive these wounds? He says, I received in the house of my friends. We received in the house of our friends. The Jewish people are still our friends. In the book of Isaiah chapter 61, it says, verse 2, I believe, it says, your children shall be married to the land. In marriage, you marry a person for their good points and bad also. You know, you get married, you know, your wife is all nicely, whatever, and in the morning, you know, you see her, her makeup, whatever, it looks scary. Okay. Listen, that's marriage. You marry for the good and for the bad. Praise the Lord. And we're married to the land. And our children are married to the land. Amen. Thank you.
We have a lot to think about and reflect on God's mercy and His faithfulness. And we've all been served a rich meal from God's Word here this morning. And we're going to be changed, I'm sure, because of the ministry of David and Leah and Ami's testimony. We're going to sing a song now. He knows my name.
If anybody's interested in seeing videos, Chris Mitchell made several videos of what happened in AP and other news. You have videos on. You look on AMIORTIZ.com, and there you have someone made a website for AMI, and it has all the videos and Christian videos about what took place and what's happening today. Amen.
Even though this portion is ended right now, the fellowship hasn't ended, and you bless someone, encourage someone, and there are those here that would be glad to pray with you if you have any questions or like to have a personal ministry. Lord bless you. Amen.